Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. She Reads Truth creates beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources to help you get into God's Word every day. Each week here on the podcast, we talk about what we're going to read together as a community this week. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. Y'all, we are starting a brand new teeny tiny series. We are opening a book, a minor prophet, the book of Amos. And this is a two-week series. I'm really excited about this. We've studied as a community the book of Amos before in sort of a grouping of minor prophets. But this is the first time as a community that we've really just studied the book of Amos. And I'm just pumped to get into it. Now, we are joined this week by a very special guest.
Super special.
Super special. The one, the only, Tamisha Williams. Tam is our marketing content editor, which just feels like a title and probably doesn't mean much to you. But Tam has been with She Reads Truth for almost 3 years now, and she has been serving in the editorial department. Tam has a master's of theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. She is a highlight. she is just a total highlight in the office. And the important thing is that you all may not recognize her name, but you would absolutely, if you're a she, recognize Tam's work, because the work that goes into curating the Bible reading plans and in the study books, that goes into the extras, all of these things. In fact, Tam is the author of this reading plan's ed letter. So anyway, those are all the things about Tam and more.
But such a treat. We're so excited. Okay, before we get started with this conversation, we have a favor to ask, Rachel and I.
We do.
You know the world that we're living in. It's hard for us sometimes to find a good way to connect with you because social media is a mystery, is it not? It is a mystery.
That is a kind way of putting it. Yes.
And so we are just looking for ways to connect with you outside of the confines of social media. Mm-hmm. And so the favor that we would love for you to do for us today is to take a moment to sign up for the She Reads Truth email list.
That's right.
So that we can reach you with any kind of news that we have, community news, sales, upcoming plans, all of the She Reads Truth things. So the way that you do that, the easiest way is just to go to shereadstruth.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, and you'll see a button that says Join Our Community. Mm-hmm. So you click there, enter your email address, and then that way we can let you know all the good things when it's time.
Thank you so much. If you do that, that would be a huge favor to us because, I mean, otherwise, it's just hard to know what you're seeing, what you're not seeing, and the internet gets weirder and weirder. And it's exchanging numbers in a sense. In fact, I think you can, in that link, also sign up for text.
Yeah, we actually can exchange numbers.
We would love that. Tam, welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast.
Thank you.
It's such a joy.
I'm so excited to have you here because we have guests on the podcast almost all the time, not always, but most of the time.
A lot, yeah.
And often they're coming from the outside to kind of, they'll first like orient themselves either with the book of the Bible that we're studying or the study book or whatever.
Or even the work that we do. A lot of them don't know us.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is great.
This is special because this book, this study book and this reading plan, Amanda and I get to experience it as she's. Like, we get to go, thank you so much for making this, and now we're going to study the book of Amos. But you experienced the book of Amos in a very different way. You were a part of the team and kind of led the team for Amos in creating it. Like, what is that like?
Yeah. Lots of research.
Yeah.
Lots of reading.
But also, you know, you have those books of the Bible where you are very eager, let's say, to read, like Psalms or something like that. But then when you come to Amos, when it has, you know, this heavy kind of content, and I'm the type of person where I don't like tension. And so, like,
okay, yeah, well, this was no wrong book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm, like, watching a movie or I'm reading a book or I'm at the movie theater, if I'm at the movie theater, like, watching a horror movie or something,
don't do that.
Like, I have to put my hands over my eyes.
Yes.
Or if I'm reading a book, I have to stop and go to the end. I'm that person.
Really? Like, I'm not reading this.
Just to see how it's going to end.
Like, relieve that tension.
And then do you go back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I go back.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was like that. And when we create these reading plans, you start with your reading. So you're not, I say research, but first you read the book of Amos.
You read the text.
Yeah. You read the text. And then you sit with it and you you listen to, you know, what the Lord is saying to you through the text. And then after that, then you go and you do, you know, make sure you have your research and things like that. And like, yeah, you're the project lead, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone on the team speaks into, you know, the plan. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was great just going into it. And you always, you think you know the Lord one way. And
then, oh, I like that. Yeah.
And then you come out of it and you're like, oh. Oh,
yeah.
I
just learned a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Interesting. Well, I like that.
Yeah. That was going to be my question is like, if you think back, because it's been some time now since you all worked on Amos.
When did you like do this work, this prep work?
I want to say maybe July.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you can't remember that's okay. But I'm curious if you think about that kind of trepidation, maybe a little bit like heading into the book and sort of preconceived notions you may have had from previous times reading Amos and then doing that really deep dive and spending that amount of time in it and then coming out of that, what did change? Like for you personally, how did that form your relationship with Scripture and with the Lord?
We know how loving and how good and how merciful God is. And I think just sitting with the text, just thinking about God's words and his message to the nations and then his message to Israel, his message to Judah. Yeah, there is that message of judgment, but really seeing, and you know it, but when you sit in the text, like really seeing that behind that judgment is mercy. Behind it, there's this call to repentance, a call to life.
Yeah,
I know we'll get into it. I really came out of it just feeling so grateful, like for God's mercy and for his grace and seeing, God is sovereign and he's totally right and fair in judging.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's not to zap you, or it's not for you to wallow in guilt. It is to bring you back to himself. And he's passionate about having that relationship with you.
Yeah.
And so
he's not mean spirited.
Yeah.
It's like it's kindness,
kindness
to reform you.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the teams, I actually don't get to attend this meeting anymore because I've been dismissed from this meeting, and that is in a good way. But one of the team's favorite meetings.
Honorable discharge.
Honorable discharge, okay. We'll call it. Like it seems like y'all always come out of this in the conference room just like energized is the plan soft launch. Yeah. That's what we call that meeting. And usually the person from the editorial team who has sort of taken the lead on a given plan hosts that meeting. And like what I've heard is like if I can't get this room excited to read the book of Amos, then I can't expect to get the she's excited to read the book of Amos. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that sort of the mindset?
Yep.
Okay, so like you hosted that meeting this year. How did that go?
Yeah, it went great.
Yeah,
it went, really well. I think you start with invitation, like before you, you have to, give your presentation and things like that. But you just invite people into the conversation. And like we're doing here, like what is it, what's been your experience? Like you asked me with Amos before.
Yeah.
And as we're talking about these themes and things like that, like, what are you thinking about? And then, you talk about me as the host, you talk about the book, and then you kind of make the pitch.
I love it.
So to speak. And then at the end of my talk and everything, I was like, so who's ready to read Amos with me?
Did you have some takers?
Yeah.
All right.
I love that.
It's so good.
The Amos hype man. I like it.
I mean, listen, he needed one. His message was not popular.
Yeah.
It was not a popular.
It was not. And we'll see some of that too. Well, so, okay, let's set the stage a little bit.
Friends listening who haven't ever opened the book of Amos or maybe who have in a, like, read through the Bible sort of sense but maybe haven't studied it.
Yeah.
Let's let's set the stage.
Let's talk about who Amos is, what this book of the Bible is.
Who's his audience?
Amos is a minor prophet, as you already mentioned, mm-hmm. Rachel. There are several minor prophets in the Old Testament mm-hmm. and a few major prophets in the Old Testament. And these are books of prophecy, like mm-hmm. it says. And so reading prophecy, if you're not familiar with reading prophecy, mm-hmm. that is kind of its own challenge. So let's talk about that for just a minute before we get specifically to Amos.
Yeah.
What are, maybe we can just kind of popcorn style, like some things to keep in mind. Well, as we're reading prophecy.
One thing I'll say is when you hear the terms major and minor, that is not a measure of importance or significance. Mm-hmm. It's really just about the size of the book.
Right.
So minor prophets, they're just smaller books.
Not an important prophet. Yeah. Just a smaller section of scripture.
Important note there, honestly, even mm-hmm. that you're not like, well, these are minor prophets.
Yeah.
It's just a minor message.
Yeah.
But what else? What else is
nothing minor about his message?
Yes, exactly.
What's the first thing that comes to mind, Tam?
I think remembering that these were real people. Like this is history. And so it's not just like this abstract, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. It's like real people in real situations. And mm-hmm. so saying all that to say that remember the context and know the context of, you know, what
That's
you're
good.
Reading. Like you can't like lift a prophecy off the page and just smack dab directly like.
And be like, this applies to my life directly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we have this spread in the study book. And if y'all don't have a study book, you can get a digital one, shopshereadstruth.com/Amos, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can get a digital study book if you don't have one. If you do, pages 14 and 15 are this spread, and it's tips for reading prophets and prophecy. And I think that, like, I mean, y'all can read those, but like another one from this, the last one, it says, the darker the prophecy gets, the brighter the cross appears. And I appreciated that note that like Christ went to the cross to atone for the darkest realities described in the prophetic books. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. as we're reading these darker, more uncomfortable prophecies to go like, okay, mm-hmm. but like if this is all judgment, like if this is all about justice, mm-hmm. like that's why Christ came mm-hmm. for justice.
Well, that aligns with your experience of this mm-hmm. deep dive that you did, Tam, that like you experienced that, mm-hmm. that like you deep dived? We'll never know.
Deep dove.
into
we'll see.
The dark passages. Yeah. Because that light really comes in the last chapter, mm-hmm. right? Like the true hope in the book of Amos. And so, yeah, another thing kind of related to remembering it's a real person speaking into real time and space and history mm-hmm. is that kind of the function of a prophet, if you don't know, it's these are individuals who are called by God to be kind of a mouthpiece mm-hmm. to his people. And so Amos, as we'll read, was called by God to speak on God's behalf. Mm-hmm. You know, so a tall order mm-hmm. and a big job, but I'm so thankful for that and that we have a record of that.
And also, like we talk about that this, you know, important to understand the context, like who is speaking to mm-hmm. whom in like, it's like, where is this in the setting of like the exile? Like mm-hmm. what is all the kingdoms and where are they right now?
Yeah,
and we'll
talk about
well, we will. But like, I think the other thing is that, so we're talking about like, what's the them then, mm-hmm. but then like not disregarding the reality of that this scripture is for us now.
Yes.
Right.
And so like, I think that that's the other thing as you're reading prophets and prophecy, that you don't have to keep it in the them then box. Mm-hmm. It's good to start there, but then like what reality, like what am I learning about the character of God? How is like, what is true? Like how can I be reformed by mm-hmm. this scripture?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, so those things, let's get to the context. Can you kind of give us, Tam, as the champion of the book of Amos in the room.
The Amos cheerleader.
And we're just the she's who are trying to like learn it as we go. What is the context? Like on the timeline, in the world, what's going on?
Yeah.
In Amos's life?
Yeah.
Bless Amos.
It's, and you know, for she's who do have the book, but it's this time after the kingdom has split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And Israel, the 10 tribes, or the northern kingdom, and then Judah and Benjamin make up the southern kingdom. And so it's this kind of period of time before the exiles, whereas Israel goes into exile to Assyria, and then Judah goes into exile into Babylon. And so it's a really prosperous time for the nation. And Amos's message is primarily directed towards Israel, but it's a really prosperous time. And they don't have the threat of enemies, really. So it's a peaceful, or the absence of war kind of time for them. And it's really prosperous. And they have just kind of start, you know, veering away from God's ways and started walking in ways that are like the pagans or like the other nations, so to speak. So.
Or even like, and we'll read about this kind of in week two, but like even just like into complacency.
Yeah.
Like, so this helps me because the three of us in this room and our friends listening know that the exile is coming.
Yes.
But they don't.
Yes.
Like the people in this context. So when, even when some of this prophecy is about like this potentially happening, and they're going, well, it's not my reality.
Yep. Yeah.
And so they don't see it as like as imminent or as true as we who have the history book can see, like, oh, I'll tell you what's coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Amos himself, what do we know about him?
This shepherd from, I'm going to mess that word up, Tekoa.
Yes.
But yeah, so he is from Judah, and this message that he's speaking is primarily to Israel, so to the, you know, northern kingdom.
Okay,
so,
interesting, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we should read some of this.
Let's
start at the beginning of Amos 1, just kind of where Amos is introduced.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read just verses 1 and 2 to start.
And before we start, one more thing for those of you that have the study books. There's another spread, pages 16 and 17, that kind of also tee you up to use the book. And it's just kind of like inviting you to be looking for examples of justice, like in ways to engage with the scripture. So like as we read, as we talk in this episode, but more than that, in the coming 2 weeks, use your study books, like mark them up and like really engage, look for those justice and righteousness.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Amos 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was one of the sheep breeders from Tekoa, what he saw regarding Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and makes his voice heard from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the summit of Carmel withers." So just immediately a very grim picture. And the Lord roaring, that image is a pretty big and powerful image, I would say. And then he goes right into, and so now, Tam,
there's a rhythm that's coming.
There is a rhythm. There's a lot of repetition, which is one of the things that I forget, I think, about prophecy when I don't spend as much time in it, that how poetic it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of poetry in this book and literary devices like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk to us about how this goes, because he doesn't start with Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do we see, like, what is kind of his progression here?
Yeah, you would think that he would start with Israel, but the Lord roars, and that picture of the lion is just prevalent. It permeates the whole book.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he starts with the neighboring, like, nations.
Yeah.
And so starts with the neighboring nations, and then he addresses Judah a little bit, but then the rest of the book is full-on Israel. And so, so we see even from the onset is his sovereignty, like his right to judge the nations.
That's
and
right.
not
That's
just
good.
Israel
yes.
and not just Judah, but to judge the nations. And then we start seeing this repetition, this poetic device, this rhetorical device where he talks about three crimes, yea, even four. And it's not four crimes that are listed, but it's showing how excessive the crimes, how excessive the cruelty, how excessive the inhumanity, because these are crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's how it starts out.
I like what you said about his right to judge the nations.
Yes.
Like, whether or not you call me your God, I am your God.
Yeah.
I created you, and I rule over you. Like, that right to judge the nations, I think that's such a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sets up, too, like, this is his world.
Yes.
We think it's ours, but
Turns out it's
his world.
Yeah.
And all of the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the, fullness thereof, everyone who dwells in it. And so as the creator, as the sovereign ruler, as the sovereign Lord of this world, he has the right to judge.
And as the, as justice.
Yes.
For him to not just go I want Judah and Israel to reflect my character in carrying forth justice. Yes, but any injustice in the world that's taking place in any, not every sin is described, but some of them are, and you're that's injustice, whether you call me your God or not, whether you're my people, quote unquote, or not. Justice is justice, and it must be carried forth, and injustice is injustice, and it must be punished.
Mm-hmm. And it violates who God is, and it offends him.
Yeah.
And these are not what I think you all find as you read, as we've said, the crimes are not all explained, and there are some of them that are. And so when he gets to Tyre, again repeats, I will not relent. So this is what's repeated over and over. I will not relent from punishing whatever the place is, this time it's Tyre, for three crimes, even four, because, and then he'll kind of fill in the blank, because they handed over a whole community of exiles to Edom and broke a treaty of brotherhood. But it keeps going. Oh, sorry, this one's Edom, actually. I will not relent from punishing Edom for three crimes, even four, because he pursued his brother with the sword. He stifled his compassion, his anger toward him continually, and he harbored his rage incessantly. There's a lot of, and then it continues to get, the language kind of progresses in violence. And some of it, we won't read on the air, because you will read it in the privacy of your own home and with the Lord. These are not, I'm sure, there are crimes of inaction. There are a lot of crimes of action and oppression and violence that, and things where the Lord has said enough. And so that's what's happening here.
Yeah. And these are, whether it's Israel or whether it's Judah or the nations, these are humans. These are image bearers.
That's
who
right.
have been created in his image. And so, these crimes are these atrocities.
Yes.
These are the things that you have done against humanity. Mm-hmm. These war crimes, the way you've treated those who are disadvantaged,
the poor, women, the marginalized, or even just the outsider. I mean, it
just all echoes Jesus.
Yes.
Wow. Absolutely.
I noticed in the going deeper passages, it's funny, every time you read stuff, every time you read scripture, you just see something new. Because when I first read the Psalm 33 passage, I really connected with, verses 16 and on. But after this conversation, reading verses 13 through 15, it's oh my goodness, absolutely, this is exactly what we're reading about.
Yeah.
And it said, I'll read it. It says, the Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He forms the hearts of them all. He considers all their works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because the end of that passage, verse 20, we wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. Mm-hmm. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. Reading that after reading those passages from Amos was the first time that I read that passage and connected it to justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that my hope and desire for justice in the world is actually a hope for the Lord. Mm-hmm. He is one who can bring that.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, are held accountable to act justly, but the hope of justice for the whole world is the Lord.
Yeah.
And anything that I have to offer in that cause comes from him.
Yeah.
And is what I know his character to be.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
come from within me.
Yeah.
Let's all be glad Amanda's not in charge of the justice system. But that's where our hope lies.
Yeah. And justice and righteousness all throughout time have meant different things to different people.
Yeah.
And something I got out of reading Amos, obviously I knew it, but it's really seeing justice and righteousness, that pairing, but seeing it from God's point of view.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody else is talking.
Yeah.
And Amos is, he's God's mouthpiece, but God is the one talking in Amos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you really get to see what justice and righteousness look like and what they don't look like as well. And like you said, that longing, like for me, it created more of a longing for justice God's way.
Yes.
And really to see that, oh, this is what God wants. Like you were saying, the things, the rightness and the right treatment and just all of those things, God wants that. And so it's a holy longing, to want those things as well.
Yeah. It's so, like, justice and mercy, God's way.
Yeah.
I think because I've read the book of Amos in its fullness at this point. So even though we're only talking about week one, in week two, we'll talk about a plumb line.
Yeah.
And like, that is justice and mercy, God's way. Like, there is one like straight line up and down and it can't veer to the left or to the right. And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Something else that I noticed in day one's reading, we've talked about the repetition of the three, even four, but also like at the end of each of these, you read the words, "The Lord God has spoken." And I just made a note in the margin. I just thought like this is not the Lord God speaking in a like, oh, everything's going to be okay kind of way, but in a like, in a very like, this is not okay kind of a way. It feels stern. But I think about what's coming for Israel and like, you know, the exile that's coming and like the distance from like the land, the Holy Land, but also like even, you know, when the prophecies cease. And I think about like, which is worse, God speaking in judgment or God not speaking, you know? And I think that like, even like I ask, like I think about that for them then, but I also think about that for me now. Like, what would I prefer to have? Like the silence of the Lord or the like the discipline of a child that he, like the way he loves me as a child, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think about just all the times growing up when I kind of got in trouble, you know?
What? Tam?
But I am thinking shocked. About like my dad, whatever the punishment was or whatever the talking to was or whatever. I'm doing this because I love you.
Yes.
And obviously at the time you're like,
yeah, right.
Dude,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's like you're saying, like that love prompts you to, when you do see your child, when you do see those under your care, when you see them going astray, going the wrong way, not following your ways, knowing that your way leads to life, then you've got to, you know, step in. Something else that we'll get into it, but Amos is a book about relationship. It's about God's relationship with humanity, and then it's about, as far as like the nations go, and then it's God's relationship, the covenantal relationship. He's talking to Judah, but primarily with Israel. And so going all the way back to Exodus and Deuteronomy, where the covenant is established, he says, if you don't follow my ways, if you don't walk in my path, then destruction is going to come. And so it's not that God is, and we know this, it's not that he's pulling, you know, this out of a hat or something. They violated the covenant.
Clearly communicated.
Yes. Clearly communicated. So it is about.
And rather than walking away going, well, covenant's over.
Yeah.
Him going, like, he's pulling them back.
And it's not for them. Yeah. I say this a lot, but it's not to wallow in that guilt, but it is to be aware, to recognize, to be convicted.
Return.
But it's ultimately about return.
And it's for their good.
For their good.
Yeah. On Tuesday, we'll get to read some from Deuteronomy 6, where it begins in verse 4.
Is this called the Shema?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to remember.
Very good.
Off the top of my head. I was like, I'm either going to pronounce it wrong or say like a completely wrong word.
That's a gold star there.
Shema. So that is like, it's called the Shema.
Yes.
Because it's the first word of this. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Listen. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yes.
And then it continues, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house or when you walk along the road. Keeps going. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get to verse 14 because this is where it feels like it is kind of predicting, right, what Israel is going to do.
Yep.
Verse 14, do not follow other gods, which they have begun to do. Mm-hmm. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around mm-hmm. you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Do not test the Lord your God mm-hmm. as you tested him at Massah. Carefully observe the commands of the Lord your God, the decrees and statutes he has commanded you. And I'll listen to verse 18. Do what is right mm-hmm. and good in the Lord's sight, so that you may prosper and so that you may enter and possess the good land mm-hmm. the Lord your God swore to give your ancestors. Mm-hmm. And it's the land, but the land is also representative of the life that, yes. that the land holds. Mm-hmm. And the land is representative of the relationship mm-hmm. that they have with God mm-hmm. and kind of living within, I was going to say confines of that relationship. And I think mm-hmm. that's true because the relationship has boundaries, mm-hmm. but they're good boundaries.
Yeah. Would you even say that the land represents like the presence of God?
I don't know. I think that's a great question.
I mean, maybe just I'm thinking because of like the temple mm-hmm. and the altar, but I don't know. I understand that like when we're talking about the land, it's a pretty big piece of land and the temple is in one spot.
Yeah.
So maybe not, but.
But the land, so this is.
It feels like the promise more than anything.
That's right. It's a good, and it's good. Mm-hmm. And this is, as you're talking about like the analogy of a parent, which you can't, I don't know, it's hard to read some of these passages without thinking about the parents or parent figures in our lives. And it is like it is a shepherding, mm-hmm. and Amos is a shepherd, which is handy, of God's people. And sometimes that has to be, it looks harsher than other times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Hey friends, interrupting this great conversation with Tam about the book of Amos really quickly to make sure that you know what's coming next. In 2 weeks, on June 5th, we are, as a community, going to start a brand new series called The Genealogy of Jesus, God's Loyalty from Generation to Generation. Okay, this is going to be a 5-week series. It's going to be fantastic. I want you to be sure to join us. Here's the thing. More than a list of names, the genealogy of Jesus shows God's faithfulness to work through broken and difficult and beautiful aspects of human life from generation to generation. His grand redemptive story happens through estranged families, through heartbreak, through betrayal and difficult moves and affairs and scandal and infertility. But it continues through the branches of deep friendship and marriages and beloved children and reconciliation and adoption. Y'all, this is the genealogy of Jesus, and it's going to take us 5 weeks as a community to be women in the Word of God every day in this series. I'm so excited about it. You know what I'm going to say next. You're going to want your study book, digital or physical, your call. You can go to shopshereadstruth.com/GOJ. That is the three letters for genealogy of Jesus, the letter G, O-J, shopshereadstruth.com/GOJ to get your book. If you want a study book, legacy book, there is what we call a he-she bundle. So that's just one of each, and you can study the genealogy of Jesus as a couple. We also have a 12-card set that's fantastic and cute, and you can set it out and remember the verses that you're studying in any given week. Y'all, I really want you to join us for this series. Amanda and I are already looking forward to podcasting through it. You're going to want to have a book. All right. That's enough about that. Let's get back to this episode about the book of Amos. We turned the page to day 2 and started immediately talking about Deuteronomy without talking about the Amos content for that day, mm-hmm. which is the Lord's shift to same lines, but new nation.
Yes.
It's Judah now.
Yes.
I will not relent from punishing Judah for 3 crimes, even 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming down to Israel, and then...
Because the Judah line is relatively brief. It's just the one, just like the other nations.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I will not relent from punishing Israel for 3 crimes, even 4.
Yes.
And this is where it gets personal.
Yeah. With the nations, it's like we've said, crimes against humanity and how you've treated image bearers.
Right.
And then when you come to Judah and Israel, it's you haven't been a neighbor because everything, every violation, it's a violation of the law. And the law is about loving God and loving your neighbor.
Okay, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's in the broader scope, it is image bearers, but within the covenant relationship, this is what they've done against their neighbor.
Yeah.
Like the people that they are in covenant with, the people that they're living on the and in the land with, the people that they're supposed to be experiencing life with God, these are the people like they
that
are
they're sinning against.
Yeah. Okay. Against each other and against God. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't help but notice the very first thing that was called out is because they sell a righteous person for silver.
Yeah.
Like, that almost feels prophetic.
Yeah.
Like, that's a Judas situation right there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that that's not the original, right. like, meaning of it,
yeah.
but it feels prophetic.
Yeah. And a needy person, and I know we won't read it all, but a needy person for a pair of sandals. And so treating each other this position of power, using these positions of power to gain more power, to gain more economic benefit at the expense. That's really what it's at the expense of your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Man.
It gets personal real fast. And even as, I mean, in talking about personal, in chapter 3, it talks about Amos is saying on God's behalf to Israel, I've known only you. This is verse 2. Out of all the clans of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. I mean, that is, it's covenant language.
Yeah.
Like, I have known you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he has chosen that. And then there's all these analogies. Can two walk together without agreeing to meet? Does the lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Mm-hmm. And then it gets real. Mm-hmm. Like in verse 6, if a disaster occurs in a city, hasn't the Lord done it?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, the Lord does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
A lion has roared. Mm-hmm. Who will not fear?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord God has spoken. Who will not prophesy?
Mm-hmm.
Woof. It's a lot.
I know.
I mean, and then
it's so interesting to read the Old Testament and New Testament back and forth here because, like, you're getting this, like, very real one setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, I mean, the New Testament just speaks into it over and over and over. Like, y'all that will be reading with us this week, I mean, Titus chapter 3 at the end of day 3, just like remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. And it goes on, for we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But, and then you get the gospel, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us.
Yes.
Not by works done of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I've read a portion of that section. You're going to read the rest of it on Wednesday. Goodness, I'm grateful for like these like gospel moments where we can go, this is true.
Yeah.
This is also true.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's why we, you know, include these going deeper sections also, because we are on this side of the cross.
That's right.
So
yes.
We're, you know, at this point in redemption history. And so when we come to books of the Old Testament, we don't come to them blocking out that information. We can't unknow it.
Right, right.
But
and we shouldn't.
Yeah, and we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so we zoom in Amos, and then, you know, we say, well, what does it mean in the context, in the book that it's written, in the chapter that it appears? So we want that zoomed in view, but then we want to zoom out and say, well, how does this fit in? How does it connect to the larger story, the broader narrative of Scripture? And so that's what we want to do with these.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, going deeper. Like you said, like this is true and this is also true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that Isaiah 59 passage on Wednesday kind of flattened me a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait for y'all to read that. I mean, just a little teaser, Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far off, for truth has stumbled in the public square and honesty cannot enter.
Mm-hmm. Does it then say truth is missing?
Truth is missing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it just describes, and when you're thinking about like the timeline of when the prophets had their ministries, Isaiah, I think, is a little after Amos, and they don't exactly overlap, but I mean, they're speaking generally into, you know, a similar space in Israel's history, and it was not great.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so some of this language, is very strong and also very toe-steppy.
Yes.
not a far throw from, from, when was this? Like 760 BC-ish
right.
yeah. to 2023 AD. Like it does not feel, it, in a lot of ways, it feels like, oh yeah, I know this. Yeah. I know what this looks like.
Yeah.
I've seen this before.
Yeah. And Titus, like it, he tells you what God did. He saved us. Oh,
yes.
What a scripture. Not by works of righteousness that we had done. But then Isaiah, it gives you the picture.
Yeah.
In verse 16, he saw that there was no man. He was amazed that there was no one interceding. So what happened? Mm-hmm. So his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness supported him. And then just that picture, he put on righteousness as body armor and a helmet of salvation. And it goes on.
Mm.
But, you know, you think about Ephesians.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
The,
I wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The armor of God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I love that.
God waged a war against death and sin because of what it is.
Yeah.
It is the antithesis of who he is. Mm-hmm. And instead of bringing life, it brings destruction.
Yeah.
And that's what, when we turn the page to Amos 4, you all are going to read and see this description of the destruction and the chaos and disorder that comes from misplaced affections, you know, in worship and from worship of idols instead of worship of the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Shema is central. Like, listen, there is one God and he is one.
Yeah.
He is not many. He is one triune, praise the Lord, God.
And what true worship is.
Like, that's right.
It's more than just going to, you know, church on the weekend. It's more than even just having, you know, your private meditation and things like that. But it's a lifestyle of how am I loving God and how am I loving my neighbor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so this is just continuing in chapter 4, like they are living in luxury at the expense of the poor, at the expense of the needy, at the expense of the disadvantaged. And so God says the very people that you were taking advantage of, you're going to go into exile, you're going to go into captivity, and your state is going to be like theirs or similar to theirs because you violated my covenant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a strong word, violated.
It is, but it's accurate.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's
you mentioned chapter 4. As I read that, it felt very, like it made me think of Hosea and Gomer.
Yes.
And then I turned the page and of course there's like a Hosea
I had the same experience.
Like, all right, I see you. But the whole thing in Amos 4, like, well, not the whole thing, but like the thing that I noticed is that there was just like, it's God going like, I'm going to put this in front of you. I'm going to like stop the rain. I'm going to like make it so that you realize your need for me.
Yep.
And then the refrain is, yet you did not return to me. Yet you did not return to me. Yet you did not return to me.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh, Lord.
It's Hosea 1:6, the like, I'll block her way with thorns, you know, and put up the hedges. Like, it's like, I am
out
trying.
Of love.
Yes.
It is just like, come on back. Is it going to take things to get worse? Is it going to, like, what can I do to get you to return to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
In that is the, I did this so you would return. So there's this mercy, you know, that I am wanting to extend to you. But you would not, like, I did this and did that. And I'm reading this and I'm like, these are some pretty drastic things. I think sometimes we can also, like, or I can read these and I'm like, oh, Israel, you didn't return to God after that? And then I have to think about, like, my own life where, like, Okay. Like, God was trying to get my attention this way and this way and this way.
Are we, like, are we thinking of God as, like, our last resort? Yeah. Like, well, yeah. you know, this will fix it.
Yeah.
This maybe instead. Yeah. Instead of just going, like, I just need you.
Yes.
Yeah, I just need you.
And just seeing his mercy, even in the ways that they would not come to him, but him saying, I am extending mercy. I was extending mercy to you.
Mm-hmm.
In Hosea, just thinking about, like, the response, like, how do we respond to this text? And it is, we would hope it would be, let's return to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no maybe, it's he will. He'll revive us. He'll restore us and things like that.
Will you read that, Tam?
Yeah. Come, Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come, let's return to the Lord. For he has torn us, and he will heal. He has wounded us, and he will bind up our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day he will raise us up so we can live in his presence. Let's strive to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, that sounds so good, like the spring showers that water the land.
That's so, I like also that we get to read a little bit of Hebrews on Thursday. There's this one line, I mean, again, every time you read scripture, different things hit, but this particular line in verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. Like, just like, don't forget that this isn't addressing you as anyone, like, outside of, like, this is, like, the most intimate.
It's not subjects.
Sons. As sons. And so it says in verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Like you said, Tam, the book of Amos is about relationship. And like, I feel like we're just like seeing that theme immediately, even in these first couple of chapters.
Yeah. The week ends with Amos 5, which is almost sorrowful in its like tone there at the beginning. There's
well, it's
a lament.
Called a lamentation.
Yeah.
It's true.
And I was struck that it was a song. It reads in verse 1, listen to this message that I am singing for you, a lament, house of Israel. She has fallen. Virgin Israel will never rise again. She lies abandoned on her land with no one to raise her up. And then just a verse or two later, there's an invitation again. Mm-hmm. That invitation is really the drumbeat, you know, of the book. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel or go to Gilgal or journey to Beersheba. Like, quit going in to these other places. Seek the Lord and live, or he will spread like fire throughout the house of Joseph. It will consume everything with no one at Bethel to extinguish it. Those who turn justice into wormwood and also their righteousness to the ground. And then there's this, you know, but the Lord, who is the creator, who's done all of these amazing, wonderful, glorious things, you know, it's still, it's that judgment. I mean, because you trample on the poor. Like, your sins are innumerable, the text says.
And then all the way down in verse 15, hate evil and love good. Establish justice at the city gate. Perhaps the Lord, the God of armies, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And then our end, like the last bit that we read in the book of Amos this week, there's this line, there will be wailing in the vineyards, for I will pass among you. The Lord has spoken, which is like not a tender, like comforting verse.
Yeah.
But, and honestly, guys, it feels like the Passover language to me. Like when it says that the Lord will pass among you, I think about the Israelites in Egypt and the angel of death passing through Egypt and like looking for what did they need to save them? The blood of the lamb.
Blood, yeah.
And like I just think about like at the end of the day, they need, we need, every one of us, we need the blood of the lamb, and that is the one thing that will save us.
Yeah.
They need the mercy of the Lord.
That's we need the mercy of the Lord. And like so like even this one last verse, it sounds so hard to end on this note this week, but it's just like, you need Jesus.
Yeah.
We need Jesus. It is gospel.
Yeah. I mean, and then, and when you place it in the broader, like we've been saying, context of scripture and the going deeper, we do see like it's the call, seek the Lord while he may be found, call to him while he's near. And then when we get to Colossians, we are the ones who have accepted Christ. Mm-hmm. And it says, if you, since you've been raised with Christ, since you've accepted this new life, then seek the things which are above. And it, you know, goes on to say what Christ, like you were saying, Christ, what he has done for us because he has died for us, because he saved us, our response is to live this life of holiness, is to live this life of justice and this life of righteousness. And it is the sins that are so prone for this human nature. It's to, as verse 5 says, put them to death.
Yeah.
So I grew up King James Version.
Okay. So what did it say in KJV?
So King James Version says mortify. And that is like, which means, obviously means put to death.
Well, I like that.
But when the preacher would preach it, it would be mortify your members. And like that's how King James says it. But there's something about like that call to righteousness and call to holiness and really the gravity, the weightiness of really living this life and being real about it. And so I think Amos also, it puts us up close and personal with sin in a way that is just really uncomfortable.
Like,
there's no, like, getting around it. Like, it calls sin out. And so it shows us how horrible and how heinous sin is and how God hates, how much he hates it. And like we were saying, it points us ultimately to the hope of the cross.
That's right. Because we can't tame sin. No. Like, sin has to be put to death.
Yeah.
Yes, and so that's good.
It has to be, there has to be a laying down and a putting off and a mortifying of our old selves, as Colossians says, but like, this is not our way. Like, our way does not lead to flourishing. Mm-hmm. We can turn on the news at any given moment and see that the human way that we are natural, like, it is an exception to see flourishing, not the rule, right?
Yeah.
And so, but God's way leads to flourishing, and God's way is a way not only of justice and righteousness, but also love and mercy and compassion. And it's the lack of these things in his people that is causing him to rise up against his own people because he cannot stand for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not, it's not a matter of like God's pride or ego. It's a matter of his character and who he is.
Yeah.
It's a matter of our pride.
I'm just thinking about that, like, that we're talking about, like, that the sin has to be put to death, has to be mortified. And it's just so interesting because I think that, like, we want to hear that as, like, get your sin under control. Get it under control. You know, if you can just get it to be small enough or in control enough, whatever that thing is.
Harmless enough.
Like Hebrews talks about, like, those, throw aside your hindrances. But doesn't say, like, get your hindrances under control. Again, it's just throw them away. Like, get them out of here.
Yeah.
Cast them off as you're running in the case of the Hebrews passage. But I think that that helps me to hear. Mm-hmm. And, of course, even in the gardening language, if I just was, like, pruning back my weeds rather than, like, putting them to death, mortifying the weeds, if you will, and I will. But that's the difference. It's like rooting them out at the, like, the deepest part.
Yeah. And it's not for the sake of perfectionism.
No.
Like,
and it's not something we could probably do on our own.
That's exactly what I was, but it's not anything we can do on our own because it's not behavior modification.
That's right.
Like, because, like, if we try to do that, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the work of the Spirit that empowers us to live this life of flourishing, to live this life that God has really called us to live.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like that's such a good place to end on because it leads us into what we'll talk about in the second half of Amos next week, you know, where God just says, I don't want more sin offerings.
Yeah.
I want righteous living.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to get to read that and more in the second half of the book of Amos next week.
Yeah. I mean, this is an unusual reading plan in that it really does leave us where it leaves us.
Yeah.
Like, it really does leave us sitting in these passages of the reality of a life without God.
Mm-hmm.
And without relationship with him and without his lordship. And so I think that's appropriate, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like to sit there. We just invite you all, you know what we say, mm-hmm. that we don't want this to serve as your interaction with scripture for the day or the week, but that this would just be a springboard for you to open these texts for yourself and read them.
Mm-hmm.
We've just shared with you how we've been engaging in these passages, but you get to engage,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the Lord will reveal himself to you in the way that he knows that your heart needs. And we invite you to invite him to do that.
That's right. That's right. And as Amanda said at the very top of this episode, and we say at the top of every episode, that at She Reads Truth, we create beautiful, accessible Bible reading plans and resources. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that you feel like, I mean, our goal is to invite you, mm-hmm. not to listen to us, but to go into scripture. That the work that Tam and editorial team and the whole team here at She Reads Truth, the work that we do is to, like, we can't make scripture more important.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make it more relevant. We can't make it more true.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is invite you to read it. And so by curating the scriptures, by having these conversations, modeling these for you, we hope that we add that accessibility mm-hmm. to you to be a woman in the Word of God every day this week. Tam, thank you so much for joining us. This was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so much fun.
Friends listening, we will be back next week for the second and final week of our Amos series with Inez Franklin, another new guest on the podcast. We're really looking forward to that. And as a reminder of what Amanda said at the top of the episode also.
What did I say?
She said, hey, do us a favor.
Oh, that's right.
Go to shereadstruth.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, hit join our community, and give us your email address so that we have a way to talk to you that is not throttled by Instagram or anything else, so that we can reach you if we have something to tell you that would mean the world to us.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all. Until next week, Tam, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bible!